Hi, and welcome to episode 67, the first one of 2018. Let's start there. Fully Boosted. I'm Grant.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Brad.
I'm Pete.
We are back, 2018. Hope everybody had a great holiday and all that fun stuff. I'm going to start off by apologizing in advance for the audio. We are doing a Skype call because we could not get together. So I am pulling off of the laptop microphone. So it's going to sound pretty shitty, but if you can hang in there, I'll do my best to get it fixed. We'll start with a little bit of news and announcements. Today, PP posted their lock and load thing. So lock and load's the 22nd to 24th of June. And basically the tickets are on sale, and I think the hotel block is on sale. Yes, the hotel block is also on sale. and then the spoiler from there, for anybody interested in the Crucible Guard spoilers, was Marshall Baldwin and Mr. Clog, a Warcaster unit. Can somebody have the picture in front of me? There we go. The cool thing here, other than that it's a unit, is that he has four different types of guns. There's an acid cannon, a catalytic detonator, a cryo evaporator, and a vitriolic ingression catapult. So,
I love it.
Yeah.
The art looks like it's going to be, but I'm seriously hoping it's literally going to be like Borka's little buddy, and he's going to be able to come up, go base to base, and say, "Here, have this gun, sir." And then your Warcaster activates, he's going to get access to all these different weapons all at the same time. Not at the same time, but like as needed, which is going to be freaking awesome.
I think that's going to be the case, because in the pose, they say, struggling under the weight of Baldwin's extra weapons. One is handheld, the other two are on his backpack.
It could be like Doomshaper 3, where you have the Scrollbearer, and then you have these mini feats of once per game, you can shoot off your Arcantric Doomaflici, and then the next turn you can shoot off your nebulizer or whatever the fuck.
I'll be honest, I hope it's not mini feats like that. I hope it's just swappable weapons.
I think it'll be, if I had to guess, I think it would be a Reinhold type star action that will allow him to switch weapons.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well. And then if you have Clog die, you're not allowed to switch anymore.
Exactly. That is kind of what I would envision.
There might also be like like something having to do with like reloading, where you can't use the same weapon two rounds in a row, because he's too good to reload his own weapons. Just kind of looking at him.
That would be amazing.
Make Clog do it.
Yeah. So I think that's it for that. This is a little far off, but the Bocor Brawl for next year, which will be Saturday, October 13th. At the Manville VFW, which is near Target in Somerville, they are officially going to a 5-person WTC style event. So super excited for this year. And we've talked to Seth. I talked to Seth at the mat, and he sounds like this venue is quite large and will easily accommodate that many people. So super excited.
I saw somewhere randomly that it was going to be a 2-day event. Have you guys heard anything about that?
So he's talked about doing that. I don't know where we've officially fallen. It does say more events to be added, but I'm not sure what is official and what isn't. So I will hold off saying anything until we know more, but we will find that out.
Yeah, I just pulled up some photos from the VFW in Manville, and it is very large.
Yeah.
And I see about 8 ceiling fans, which makes me excited.
Nice.
And then beyond that, I imagine because it's a VFW. Yep, just found it. These are some menus from previous events they've had. And guess what? There's liquor on them.
Yep. Very exciting. So that's going to be a blast. So if anyone, enjoy those type of events. Now it's 5-person. So, try to make it down for that. And lastly, the Southern Ontario Open, which is April 6th to 8th, has officially opened for hotel blocks. So you can go to their Facebook page and click on under the details section. There's a link to get the rate for the con. So we've already all booked. So super pumped about getting up there and seeing everybody. Did I miss anything?
No, you never do.
You're so cute. And I guess so. And then the other thing is, so the lists came out for the ATC, which is, I believe, next weekend, or 2 weekends.
What's the ATC?
For 2 weekends. I think everybody knows what the ATC is by now. I don't know if I need to go into that. We're going to try to have Brandon on next week. If he can't make it, we might reach out to somebody else. But they posted the lists, and I don't want to get into the list too much, but I wanted to talk about for a few minutes was the breakdown of the factions, which I'm sure everybody's seen by now. But Ryan, I know you don't have it in front of you, so I'm going to just read it off anyway. So we've got 17 Signar, 16 Circle, 16 Krix, 15 Grimkin and Scorn, 13 Rhett and Kador, 12 Menoth, 11 Mercs and Trolls, 8 Minions, 7 Legion, and 4 Convergence. So if you can't see the pie chart or you haven't, it is very, very well spread across the factions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, I don't want to go through this with each of them, but just real quick, the one thing I found notable is, Grant, if I just kind of put you on the spot and asked you to tell me what was the most popular theme force in Krix, what would you pick?
I would, off the top of my head, I would probably pick Dark Ghost.
That's a very reasonable pick, but if I asked you to pick the second most popular, what do you think you'd pick?
Probably Ghost Fleet.
Wrong. Black Industries.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Ghost Fleet's pulling up third. Scourge, which is all this Tixis, is fourth. And then there's no Inferno Machines and no Slaughter Fleet.
Sure.
Is reasonable because half of Slaughter Fleet isn't out yet.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm surprised Black Industries is the second highest.
Well, if you look at the number of occurrences in the lists, number one is a Stalker at 42.
Yeah.
Guess what? Guess what number two is?
Let Ryan guess because he doesn't have it up in front of him.
No.
I'll give you a hint, Ryan. It's a Warjack and it's not an Arknode.
I don't even know him that well.
Krix Heavy's 2018.
Right, yeah, it is a Slayer.
Slayer, that's okay.
Yeah, from the Black Industries lists.
Yeah.
If we go back and look at WTC stats, I'd be surprised if a Slayer was in double digits.
I would be surprised if there was any, to be honest.
Well, Are any of us actually shocked?
Can we pull that up? No, I'm not.
And I don't know if you guys remember, but at the beginning of when Mark III was announced, there was that joke with Hungerford saying, like, they rate a model as to how many Stalkers it could kill. Or, I'm sorry, Slayers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At the beginning, that's what they said. They were like, oh, this Jack can kill 2.5 Slayers.
Just found it. So guess how many Slayers were in all of the WTC? Mind you, there was 53 Krix players.
Six.
Three.
Brad, what's the event ID for that?
15.
Yeah, sure. I did 14 and 16, so that makes sense.
Oh, hey, Conflict Chamber guys, if you are listening, please, please, please make a page that has links to all of your past events.
Yeah, that would be really sweet.
Actually. That would be amazing if you could just, you know, go, oh, hey, what was WTC? And go to the event master event page and then click on it.
And the other great thing about the Krix themes at WTC, there was 48 Dark Host, 45 Ghostly, and 5 Infernal Machines, and then 8 out of theme, and fucking nothing else. Now, to be fair, the other ones weren't out. I get that, but just the spread of where we have come is interesting.
Mm-hmm. I have to admit, this is arguably what I wanted to see, was to start to see stuff spread out like this.
So my most surprising thing, I think, when I looked at this was seeing that Circle was second with 16, tied with Krix. Was anybody else, like, does that stand out to anybody else?
I feel like Circle's in the spot right now in that kind of event where they can avoid the things they want to avoid, and they are going to they can absolutely dominate into specifically targeted matchups.
Well, yeah, if you look at the casters, you have Bradagus 6 times, Una 2-5, Balder 2-5, and then Kruger 2-3. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they all have very specific games that they kind of want to play, except for maybe Una. And, like, that's... I really think... Because Circle's one of those lists where if you're not ready for what they do, in a general steamroller, they've got too many bases to cover. They've got a lot of holes. But in something like this, they can be incredibly well targeted. And when they get to play that game, like, you're going to go in and it's going to be Circle's game every time, they're in an incredibly strong place.
There was 69 Gremlin Swarms.
in Circle or in...
No, sorry. I moved on without segueing.
Oh, that's funny.
So, I mean, would anyone have predicted this?
No. What, that Circle would be...
Oh, mean? My God. I set us up to segue for the topic of the night, and you guys missed it.
Yeah, Grant, that was like a pretty decent layup.
Sorry, I was looking at the thing. I totally missed that. You finish. Go. You segue yourself.
All right, so what we wanted to do for the focus of the episode was not talk on ATC.
No.
Yeah. But we wanted to do baseless predictions for 2018 for the world of Privateer Press and War Machine and Hordes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what I did is I kind of wrote down a bunch of prediction statements that we'll all fill in. Some of these, a few of them are just for fun, and some of them are more serious. Again, it's all just fun, right? We fucking know nothing. This is just basically.
I was going to say.
I know, but
how does one of these become serious?
I'm gonna seriously answer a few of the. I mean, some of the questions I'm going to make a legitimate prediction at. Some of them, there's no way to actually do that. It's just gonna kind of be. Other thing I did, and Brad and Ryan, I don't know if you guys ever actually did this, but I did if anyone's familiar, watches like NFL Network prior to football, they do a thing where they do bold predictions, which is they make some outlandish statement that like is not outlandish to the point that really couldn't be true, but that like would kind of be surprising. So I at least made six. Pete, I know you had a bunch. I don't know if you wrote any of them down.
Side note, isn't basically everything on any kind of NFL show just yelling randomly about a more or less random numbers generator?
No, I mean, this is more like a running back will go over 200 yards today.
What, do you hate sports nerd?
No. All right, let's get on to the trigger list.
All right, great. So, the first one, the dominant faction of 2018 will be, I will go ahead and start, and I'm going to stick with Crix because I think that as soon as Slaughter Fleet comes out, everybody's already back in. I don't think that Denny nerf is going to do a whole lot to that faction, so I think we're still going to see Crix on top. Ryan, go.
I almost want to say Signar, but I think that's just my personal angered feelings there coming through. You know what? Let's screw it. Crucible Guard. I think they're going to come out. I think they're going to be incredibly strong for that first year once they come out. I think they're going to catch people way off guard. Maybe not the same kind of thing as with the Arcanas, but it's going to be something a little different. And I think that they're going to, in what is capable of a small faction, because not everybody's going to be able to pick them up right away, but I think that they're going to be in the top tiers of anybody who's like, all right, let's get this and get some reps in, and then they're going to be just winning Masters. Maybe not in as many as Crix, but they're always going to be toward the top.
Sure. Brad?
We're asking for what's going to be the dominant faction in 2018?
Correct.
Just wanted to make sure I remember correctly. I'm going to take two as well. I'm going to go with either Signar or Menoth. I think Signar and the heels of Haley 3 and Nemo 3 are very good. And I think Menoth, with the resurgence of Testament, with the already popular Monondraza still existing. I know I read this a while ago. And I hope it's not true, but I know John Damaris was talking about like what people Sevi 1 tech is, and I hope the answer is fucking nothing because I hate Sevi 1. just based on like the Testament strength alone, as well as the Monoraza, and then back to Signar with Nemo 3 and Haley 3, I'm going to go with either Menoth and Signar.
All right. And Pete?
So I think the obvious answer is Crix, but I think on a strong second is going to be Scorn.
Interesting.
What keeps Crix at the top one even after Denegra's... I don't hate to say she's saying nerf. She's being brought back to fair. Like, she's still very good. But, like, even after that, like, clear dominant front runners out there, like, what keeps Crix at one?
I think Coven. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see some interesting stuff with Scar 3. And I, as much as you've been humping the leg of Scourge of the Broken Coast, I think I'm a believer.
I would also like to throw in that I mean, you yourself said Slaughter Fleet might well be the best Crix theme when all is said and done. And on top of that, you also have this Black Industries Slayer thing, which maybe that's a fad, maybe it isn't, but that seems to be on the uptick of popularity, and I think that's going to be a strong thing that people have to deal with, too.
Let's clear something out right here. I don't think it's a fad. It's a bunch of heavies with carapace.
No. Sure.
Getting heavy with carapace.
Yeah, I mean, you've already voiced that you don't think that was okay, and I'm not quite there yet, but it seems really fucking strong. It's definitely concerning. I don't know, Pete, anything else to throw in? Like, and Coven, like you said, I think that shit all just keeps Crix right at the top.
Yep, nothing to add.
Actually, do we think that if let's say Ghost Fleet loses, because part of the problem with the Ghost Fleet Dark Coast thing was that it was so good as a pairing because it answered all the problems. Mm-hmm. If Ghost Fleet kind of goes to the wayside, can they still do that as well with the themes they have left?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't think Ghost Fleet's just dead in the water.
No,
they aren't as dumb as they were before. But, like, if you don't have a strong recursion, if you don't have a strong recursion denial in RFP, like, they can still just run the table. The problem comes in is that now with, like, both Ghost Fleet and, like, Clockwork Legions, which isn't even at ATC, but exists, as well as, like, other recursion-based lists and Testament and things like that, I think RFP is a little bit more prevalent. So Ghost Fleet turns into a little bit of a dead drop. Depend on how much they have. So then you start bringing in your other theme forces, which are all good, but the one point I'll make to kind of reinforce my point is Black Industries, as well as really kind of all the other Crix pairs, probably just melt when they see Nemo 3 across the table. You don't get Carapace against Eleeps.
Yep, that's true.
That's true.
All right, so on to the next one. The Ghost Fleet Boogeyman theme of 2018 will be, and I will start with Pete.
Oh, gosh. I already answered this one. Where is it? Hold on.
I told you to write them down. Not in the chat, you fuck.
Yep. No, I know. I'm terrible at this. We just talked about it. The Crix one with all the Blood Ogres.
Slaughterfleet?
Slaughterfleet, yep. Yep, I think that's going to take the mantle and run with it.
All right. Brad?
Sure. I would go with Bones of Orbros. So it's a very high armor skew. The Warlocks that can run them change what the list wants to do tremendously. Bradagus, like, projects a crazy offensive threat, whereas Baldur 2 plays a brick that you never get to dismantle. So the theme force is, like, very versatile. And is, right now, like, not, like, running away is the most favorite theme force in Circle, but it's definitely the leader, and I think that lead only grows as time passes.
Yep, I like that. Ryan?
I don't know. I kind of want to say that, Storm of the North might actually take off once the Hooch Hauler and...
Ryan, you went away.
We lost Ryan.
Well, he's dead.
All right, well...
he's like a spirit haunting us.
Well, while he...
I'm still here!
All right, good. There you are. All right, so you started Storm of the North?
So mine's probably going to be Storm of the North. I think once the Hooch Hauler comes out and they have all of that boosted fire damage, I think that I almost feel like somebody who's better at trolls needs to unlock it, but I feel like just having that much on the AD line and trolls is in this spot where they could possibly end up not so much like the Meat Mountain, the return of the Meat Mountain, but just have this very fast in your face and then have this potential to just absolutely obliterate whatever they hit. And I feel like that could turn into kind of a boogeyman, especially because it would pair so well with some of their very defensive lists, so you're not sure which one you're getting. I just think a lot of the Northkin stuff is very set to get tweaked to just the right spot when somebody puts it all together.
Oh, yeah, I'm fucking scared to shit of the Hooch Hauler, man. That thing seems not okay. Like, I don't – two of them on the table just scares the shit out of me.
Well,
like,
just not even two of them. Just one of them, and then you have squads of Fire Eaters or something. That's a lot of real high damage, relatively high accuracy attacks coming in on you. It can get really scary.
Yeah. And I will wrap mine up. I am actually going to say...
Grave Diggers.
No, but I do think that is going to be a problem. I think it's the... Is the Ogryn theme Children of the Dragon for Legion?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to go with that. They're about to go through CID. I think there's going to be some changes, and I think Legion is going to get brought up a good amount, and I don't really have any other basis for this. I just think maybe with their new stuff and some of the already existing casters, that I think all that's going to pair well together, and I think that might actually become a problem.
I'll be honest. I, for the love of God, hope that that does not happen. Not that I don't want to see Legion. I would love to see Legion. I'd love to see all the factions come back into this area where everybody's arguing about, well, what's your top 10 factions? And, like, they're all... Everybody's list is completely different. But my issue with that would be if they go into CID and then they come out with this massive theme for, and they're just getting back into the top on riding on the back of a ghost fleet like Theme Force. I'd hate to see that come back into being where it's like, oh yeah, you play Legion. Okay, you play one list. Like, I hate that. I really hope that that's not how that comes out.
Yeah, and then it just justifies the people that keep screaming, you know, this is the GW Codex creep model.
Correct. Correct. Like that would honestly concern the hell out of me. I don't know. I don't know if that's if maybe that's what we're saying with all of this, because we've all more or less said kind of new theme forces. Obviously, that's what we're looking at. But I really hope that that's not going to be the method that they adjust power with is by adjusting the theme forces. I'm hoping they take a much more balanced approach. Yeah. And to be fair, that we don't even see another ghost fleet where it's so far out in the front that it's just almost unanswerable.
Well,
can I ask a question, Ryan? If you don't want them to adjust power by adjusting theme forces, how do they adjust the game?
Right.
By individual.
But that I assume you said individual models.
But that in itself adjusts the theme, right? I mean, look at Gravediggers.
Same concern.
I mean.
Well, so Ghost Fleet, why was Ghost Fleet powerful? It's not because of the pirates. It's because of the pirates with the D3+1 recursion, right?
Yeah, look at what they're changing.
Sure. Sure.
But yeah.
I think what he's trying to say is that there's definitely ways to make a theme force, to bring a faction up through the theme force.
Right. So if you don't want them to adjust the... like the strength of a faction by adjusting the theme forces, like how do they adjust the game?
I would hope it'd be something more, I guess maybe more targeted, and maybe they can adjust the. So my issue, I guess my issue is not really so much with the power force. It goes back to my original issue with the theme forces, which was you're going to have this where, oh, you're playing X faction. Okay, well here you're playing X list with that faction because that's it. And that's the top. That's what you have to play. How to play that is the most powerful.
But that is where we are with the way themes are. There is no way to adjust a faction. You're going to affect a theme positively or negatively because of the way the themes are built. There is no way around that. You want to touch, you know, Ogryn models in Legion. Guess what? That's going to affect Call of the Dragon. You want to touch Trencher models in Signar. That affects Gravediggers, either positively or negatively. There's really no other way to do it in the current system.
Okay, so let me rephrase the thing then, Mike. It's not that they will adjust. I guess, yeah, the power levels, I guess, I'm misspeaking then. I'm afraid my biggest concern is that they will go and say, all right, this faction's in CID, we're adding this new theme force, and then, oh, holy shit, this is the most broken thing ever, and it comes out of
so here's my thing, though, right? Like, did we all play 40K? I don't know if you did, Pete.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, great. So we all play 40K. Like, I remember, at least, unless I'm mistaken, like, whenever the codexes got updated, like, the faction that was most recently updated was, like, far and beyond away the best one, to the point where, like, in order to stay, like, competitively relevant, most, like, tournament players would jump to the new faction.
So it was, you had to have at least four factions, we'll say. Yeah,
right, but within War Machine and Hordes, like, even the best changes you could give to a theme force, right, there you could look at, I'd say, nearly every faction, and we'll use Ghost Fleet back from 8 months ago as the example. Like, nearly every faction had an answer within their arsenal to Ghost Fleet. Was the answer maybe take this specific Warcaster, like in the case of Signar, like, take Siege 1, or take Connie B, which between the two, like, it's usually just take Siege 1, but, like, the answers exist, some more proliferated than others, and I don't think there'll ever be one, like, that needed such specific answers that Ghost Fleet required. The comparisons to, like, 40K Power Creep, like, I get it because that's where we all came from, but I don't even think they're I don't think the Power Creep is comparable.
Okay, so, yes, that is, you're absolutely correct. I will be honest, the worst that we've seen out of GW, the absolute worst that they've done, has been maybe at the beginning of what we've seen out of GW from Privateer Press. And that was when they came out with the birds. That list fell.
Yeah, like, I agree. Like, Una 2 was probably the worst power creep it was, but the thing is, like, the comparison to GW would exist if they never errated it to change it. I think it lived in the wild for all of, like, 2 months. The tournament results showed that, like, yeah, the internet clamor was, like, absolutely correct, and, like, immediately errated.
And this is why I say my greatest fear. It's not a fact. No. PP has, and yes, As a fervent Kool-Aid drinker, I'm all about. I mean, like, yeah, PP's already won me over pretty effectively, but my concern at any time, and it's just a fear. It's kind of one of those like, and I almost hate to make the joke, but like PTSD or something, where it's like, this looks. Oh no, we're good. Like it keeps, and they've got it. Like they've got to sell models. They've got it. Yeah. They've got to keep the game changing because we want them to stay alive. We want them to keep changing things up and seeing stuff come and stuff. And I think so far they've taken a great aspect of it. But there's definitely this lurking other side where if they wanted to, they could really screw the screws on one of these. And anytime we have a conversation like, well, what's the next Ghost Fleet? And I'm just like, aren't we kind of asking what the next thing that kills the game is? Like,
no, I mean, Ghost Fleet didn't kill the game. I mean, it was the most powerful theme. People had answers. I mean, Brandon won War Machine Weekend. He had it, but he played Scar 3 rounds. So, I mean,
I will say though that was. I also was touched in a very bad way by Ghost Fleet because as a Kador and Convergence player, there weren't a lot of answers. We got some now, but there weren't a whole lot of them.
I don't want to spend a whole lot more time on this. I will say it's the same thing. Like, okay, Gravediggers is popular now. Well, yeah, of course it's going to be. There's answers in that theme that didn't exist for Signar prior to that coming out. Same with Trolls, same with Crix. I mean, that is going to be the cycle, unfortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it. So,
well, we want a living meta, right?
Of course.
We want something that changes.
Yep. I mean, if you looked at this sheet and saw the same thing you saw last year at WTC, that would suck. That would be boring. And if the meta hadn't shifted by then, like, fuck, then the game would be boring as shit. All right, everybody answered the Boogeyman theme, yes?
Sure.
I think so.
I don't know if Pete did. Yeah, Pete did. Yeah, we all did.
All right, of the factions going through CID this year, and as a recap, that's going to be Legion, Kador, Circle, Menoth, Crucible Guard, and Mercs. The one who comes out the best will be?
I mean, Crucible Guard. Like, they don't exist, and they're going to exist afterwards.
All right. Sorry, I actually meant to delete Crucible Guard off the thing. Okay. Asses. All the factions that exist. Sorry.
run through them again for me.
It is Legion, Kador, Circle, Menoth, and Mercs.
Are we talking general power stating or... amount of increase.
No. I'll give my answer
however
quick.
You
like,
want.
I don't think that any of them have like casters that are over the top that need a scale down like Denegra 1 got. but what I think the way to like define the best is I'll tell you my answer, I'll tell you my reasoning. I think it's going to be Menoth. And the reasoning for it is if you look at the theme forces they currently have, I think they're all fine. But the benefits they give are to models that you're not incentivized to take. So what I mean by that is, I forget the name of it, but there's the one theme force that gives the benefit to the jacks in the list. Well, you get points, you acquire your points that you're taking in the list by taking, I think it's exemplar models. So the benefits to the models you're looking to take in the list don't necessarily line up. So I think a realigning of the requirements to benefit to the theme force will ultimately benefit Menoth.
Okay. I guess I'll stick with my Legion answer, because I kind of already said that, so I'm going to go Legion.
Bob and Ears are going in CID. It's Kador.
And then you want to give any reasoning? Sorry, Grant, you want to give any reasoning behind Legion?
Well, I think Legion is not in a particularly great place right now, and I don't know that they're necessarily going to go too far, but Legion is a very popular faction. They're going to get shit tons of feedback in the CID. I think they're going to fix a lot of the problems. I think you're going to see some Warbeast points come down, like what you did in Trolls. I think you're going to see some of the new stuff be really strong, and I think you're going to probably get a Warlock or two that is not really great brought up a little bit. And I just think with all of those things combined and the popularity of Legion already and the things that already exist in Legion, I just think that coupled together I think they're just going to be really strong at the end of that.
And then Ryan, your reasoning for Kador?
So Kador is in this weird spot, right? Beyond the I am a permanent fanboy of Kador and Mana Wars, but they are in a really weird spot right now where when you look at them on paper, you're like, wow, they've got everything. And then you look at them, and obviously the tournament pairing, I'm not the only one who feels this way, they're in this like awkward spot of they don't do Krix as well as Krix does. They have these neat things they do, but at the end of the day, they have the weakest armor, not the best armor, because they don't have as many of the buffs and stuff. Like, they're just in this weird spot, and I think if they go into CID, that they're going to get kind of, I don't know if they're going to get, like, an identity fix, where it's like, okay, they hit like bricks, and they're that blunt, and maybe it is their identity, the identity of that whole axe to the face spell I cast. I feel like they've got the most room where you tweak one or two things in there and they're going to absolutely take off out of the gate.
Sure. Pete?
I got to agree with Kador. That was what I had picked beforehand. I hate to say ditto, but ditto.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. the scenario that will not exist in 2018 is... and if you don't know them, I have them up, so if you don't know them by name, I'm going to say Outlast. And the reason I say that is because I think that scenario is difficult to win. Win by scenario. I don't think it's a bad scenario. I don't dislike it. I just think with the two circles and the flags, I mean, there'll be another one with that Outlast out. Run whatever the fuck the three names are that they'll use, but I think it'll be significantly different than that.
I was gonna say, isn't that cheating? Because of course it's gonna go to whatever the next iteration is.
Well, I mean, this particular scenario, and they could all change, right? So who knows? We're just spitballing.
I personally think the one that's gonna go is gonna be the one that has the 9 million scoring elements, the two vertical square rectangles, and then the two circles. And,
standoff. You're talking about 0 equals 0.
He means standoff, yeah.
Because the rectangles aren't vertical, Ryan, the horizontal.
Yeah.
The horizontal, yeah, sorry. I feel like either it's you get two armies that can take advantage of it, and you get these really high scenario points where scenario was never really the true goal of it, or you get it where the one army comes in and has a little bit of an advantage with that and just absolutely kicks the other person in the teeth with the scenario. I feel like it's very unbalanced and it's incredibly unforgiving.
What? All right, so I think all these scenarios are fine. None of them have rubbed me the wrong way. I think they're all laid out well. I think they're all alive. And I think if there's a game going on between two players, like, it's very reasonable for that game to be relatively even throughout. And the multiple scenario elements, like, force interesting lines of play. Like, lest we go back to the days when it was, like, just two flags on the table. So, like, the only points of engagement were those two flags. Yeah, I think all these are fine. I think what will end up happening, more so than one of these going away and, like, being changed, is for the most part, these will make it through to next year almost untouched. Will there be, like, maybe some placement changes? Like, maybe the flags in Spread the Net, like, move farther to the center, or, like, they move back towards the table edge? Yeah, sure, that's certainly possible. But I think for the most part, these as templates all exist, and the scenarios go up to, like, 8 or 10 options as opposed to just the 6.
Sure. Pete?
Recon 2. I think it's on the chopping block.
Which is interesting, because that one went through... That one's the only one to actually, like, legit change and have gotten tested, like, separately itself. So I would have thought they would have been happy with that, but that was obviously before the packet came out, so...
Well, I mean, we're basis speculating.
No,
right?
No, of course, of course.
I think they're going to add another element to it. Possibly an infantry element for scoring. But I could be wrong.
Interesting. All right. This is the next one. The Denny 1, i.e. considered to be the strongest caster of 2018, will be... I will start with Brad.
The strongest both sides, all right? Warcaster, Warlock?
Of course. That's just... Yeah, that's just my war machine bias.
Pass. I'll come back.
Okay. Ryan's?
I got one. I don't think it will be true, but I think Haley 3 is going to get looked at sideways an awful lot, because it's not that necessarily she's broken or anything. It's that she's got so many tools and can get you from so many ways. You're going to have a game which is being decided by player skill, and it's going to just... It's the caster... If helmed correctly, that caster can be absolutely brutal. And I think that she's going to be getting the one who gets looked at. I don't think it's going to be true. I don't think she's in the same spots that Denny 1 has. I don't think she has the overalling, you know, just bad game experience that Denny pre-nerf could give you. But I think that if misinterpreted, or I feel like she can give out some really unbalanced games. And it's because the player made a mistake or miscalculated or didn't respect Baby Haley or didn't think Grandma's gun was going to get him. Or, you know, there's so many elements when you're playing her, and there's so many elements when you're across the table from her, that I think that she's going to be the one that's the oh, God, I don't know what to do.
That's fair. Pete?
I'm going to go for Chef.
Nice.
I think he has some of the same shtick as Denny, where it could definitely turn into he's a big gotcha catcher, warcaster or warlock. And I think he's going to be a powerhouse coming into 2018.
All right, I'm ready now.
All right, go ahead, buddy.
So, Denegra right now, right now, because see, it hasn't changed, is a problem because she pushes scenario as hard as she does, as well as assassination. So, with that being said, I think the answer is kind of twofold. I think that they're really trying to take away the auto-win scenario game. So I don't really think there'll be another Denegra 1 in terms of, like, scenario power. So then to go on her assassination front, I think the answer is going to be Old Witch 2 in Kador. The ridiculous downtown threat she brings between her Scourge as well as Blind Gun. If she brings a Victor on now your defense 1 caster, its Flare Gun can now also hit to remove stealth for the rest of the army. And then she lights you up with rockets from a million miles away, and you're knocked down and blinded and Curse of Shadows and generally just dead.
Yeah.
So with all that being said, I don't think there'll really be another scenario powerhouse to the level that was Haley 1. I'm sorry, I mean Denegra 1. But I think it's fairly reasonable that we see Kador Old Witch 2 become the assassination monster Denigra 1 is.
Yep.
I can definitely see that. If you're not ready for it, she will just kill you.
Yeah. Mine would be Coven, but I still suspect that something is going to happen to Coven, so I'm going to exclude them from this conversation. My real, the answer that I think is correct, that I'm like believing in, I think it's going to be Scar 1. I think she's already really strong, and I just think with Slaughterfleet coming, I don't know why, just feel
okay,
like she's going
to so, Grant, a couple questions.
Go.
What does Scar 1 do that's at all similar to Denigra 1? Like, she's no more, like, powerful than any other, like, melee, like, centered warcaster. Like, let me phrase that. She is more powerful. She's got the strength buff and the armor buff. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you can blunt the melee force getting there, like, she doesn't do anything.
Agreed. Totally agree. I'm not trying to compare her to anyone. This is just baseless speculation that I just...
Well, what's in the category? Who's the Denigra 1 of 2018?
As in power level.
Oh. The caster that you have to have an answer for.
Yeah, like widely considered, like, what's the best list in the game? It was Denny1 Ghostly, right? So best caster probably was considered Denny1, at least competitively with that theme.
I'll be honest, that right there, in this game where nobody can do anything without having 900 people argue with them, the fact that you could probably find... I don't know, a good 100 people who would agree that Denny1 was by far the most powerful caster in the game. I think that definitely said something about where she was.
And again, I think that because a Crix is still going to be on top, I think it's going to be a Crix caster. So I just also picked somebody. The other one I was going to say was Bradagus. Again, I don't have anything to back that up. He's just regaining popularity, and I fucking hate him. So I just was going to say that too. But all right, next. The next caster to be nerfed will be, and I'm locking Coven out as the answer for this.
Why are you so set on you thinking Coven's getting hit with something?
Because this is how I feel. That's all. I've been saying for a while. I think
the caster that gets like nerfed in 2018.
Yeah, correct. Right.
I don't know.
Like, as in, if somebody else got really strong, like, it's not something we're necessarily going to see. This one was more of a just for fun, like, you know, like, Testament. If you said Testament a year and a half ago as a super strong caster, most people would have fucking laughed at you. And, like, here we are. So I'm just kind of, it's prediction.
Would you say the changes I suggested with how they score scenario elements to be a nerf? I mean, it would have to be, right?
Well, I don't. What was your suggestion to how they change scoring?
Just that, like, the witches themselves can only score one snare element at a time, and the Aegor doesn't contest.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so with that in mind, then, like, I think there's going to be a handful of warcasters across the board that get themselves relooked at. Like, I think Haley 3 should be one of them, and probably Coven should be one of them. And those are my two answers, and it's just based on their scenario scoring. Beyond that, I don't think there's a warcaster that, like, power level, like...
But Haley 3, the scoring is not the problem. It's the contesting that's the issue.
How they score scenario elements. I mean, it's the scenario game. However you want to word it.
Okay.
The way in which they play scenario is too powerful.
Okay. Totally fair. Pete?
If I had to go on personal experience, I think Alara 2 needs to be looked at.
Okay.
That is true. She does have the Mark 2, like, catch a model Nina feat.
Yeah, I think that's too powerful. If it went to, you know, a more traditional Mark 3 feat, I think she would be fine. But the ability to just, you know, catch one guy in a unit and then have them benefit from all the goodness of her feat is feels bad.
Yep. Ryan?
Yeah, I think, whatever. You did it to me, I'm doing it to you. I think it's Alara too. I think it's any of the casters, she's the only one that pops into my head right now, who have that traditional Mark II feat, the model unit, because that was a big change for, like, Axis, at least personally for me, and stuff. And it, while it sucked, it makes the game much more, I don't know, tactical is the right word, but I think it improves the gameplay on both sides of it. Anybody who's still got that, I caught a model, one of my friendly models, and the whole unit gets it. So my models that are on the extreme flank are getting benefit from my feet, from my caster who's on the other side of the table and not being risked. I think those will probably start to go away.
I have no basis for this, and I actually think she's fine. I just for fun. I was going to guess Old Witch, too. I don't think she may need it. I'm just picking somebody that I think is going to be really strong that somebody might unlock and break.
I mean, if there's anything that changes, it's just Scourge, like just how Scourge works.
And that's very possible.
The thing is, though, like the difference between her and Denegra 1 is like Denegra 1 feeded and used an arc node and got the Scourge on you.
Yes, absolutely.
She's throwing herself like in your face and is a huge fucking target.
Yep.
Old Witch 2, her biggest balancing mechanic is the fact that she's a huge base. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it right there. It's such a nightmare to try to get her, because even getting her into the spot you want her in to do that assassination run may not be physically possible because her base doesn't fit.
Yep. Everybody went, yes?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One major change to SR2018 will be, I'm going to say the scoring and the time limit factor together. I think we're going to get rid of the round 7. Or that's going to get changed along with the way it's scoring. I'm not sure if you're going to have win by 5 and the go to turn 7 thing. I think some variation of that is going to change. Go ahead, Brad.
I got nothing.
Okay.
I like the current system. Yeah, I don't know. I like the current system.
Well, it's not about... I'm not saying I don't dislike it. I was just throwing out, like, hey, we know nothing about SR 2018. Now's a good time to just say some stupid shit.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is,
the changes I would suggest are, like, on things that I think could be done better or aren't done well. And there hasn't been a time, like, when I'm playing SR 7, like, a steamroller scenario where I'm like, this just doesn't make sense, like... The ending at turn 7, when it first was announced, like, kind of rubbed me the wrong way that would exist. But now after playing it, like, it's an interesting dynamic to the game that I don't mind and actually kind of enjoy.
I was going to say, I was a big poo-poo-y on the whole turn 7 thing, but I have really enjoyed having that as a playable aspect of, all right, well... I'm low on, you know, they're up a little bit on clock, but I've got scenario, and instead of it just being my opponent goes, okay, I get to wear you down on clock, it's...
Well, you clock before turn 7 anyway, so it doesn't matter to you.
Ouch. Ouch.
Sorry, keeping this real.
Sorry.
I know, that was so painful. But to be honest, I played, especially with conversions, play is a long game. There was many games that I saw where my win scenario halfway through the game was turn 7.
Okay. Who's got, anyone else have one? I can skip this one if no one thinks anything.
I think the terrain placement is going to get looked at.
Oh, yeah,
again.
You did say.
At least the methods, because no one uses scatter.
No.
What's the other one? The
cluster.
Cluster, scatter, and then... Fuck, it was some type of zone.
Square, quadrant?
Quadrant one.
Quadrant, yeah. Like I think those last two are going to get looked at because no one's using them, at least in our area.
Which ones?
The quadrant and scatter.
Oh, yeah, so I probably shouldn't say this because I run events, but like I don't use the terrain placement rules because I think I was kind of doing it by accident even before SR17 in just like... make the tables, like, have relevant scenario, have relevant terrain pieces, which, like, includes the line of sight blocking shit in the middle, and just make it, like, feel dynamic after that. Like, the rules for terrain placement, only really matter for the rules they make for the distance that it can go between flags and how close they can be to each other. Beyond that, I mean, I don't need them. Like, I understand why they're...
No, you tripped and fell on cluster method. Like, that's the way you do it.
Yeah.
Yep. Anybody else?
No, nope. I think.
Okay.
I'll be honest. 2017 of all of the steamroller packets we've played through, I feel like 2017 is the one where normally I'm like, all right, let's see what are they gonna change? What's gonna be like? I'll be honest. I'd be all right with them not changing anything. Like here's 2018. We went the one scenario change from Outlast to Outfight. And,
just say it's changed the name because.
Well, they do every year, yeah. But it's like I agree. I was very skeptical about some of this stuff at first, but I think this is my favorite packet since I've been playing.
Yeah, hands down, not even a question.
So All right, this is a kind of lengthy one. Ryan, I know you're driving, probably can't look at Worm. That's fine. So if you can't answer this off the top of your head, that's totally fine. Caster in each of the CIDs in 2018 that will get buffed. Just pick one. I don't care. I don't want to go So we're going to start in Legion. I'm going to say Bethane. Brad.
Ryus one.
Fuck, that's both of my two.
That's okay.
Yep,
you can same. All right, that's fine.
I'm gonna go with Bethane. I think she might actually need it more than Ryus one, which
I think you're actually probably right.
Yeah, I think you're
just,
right.
I just really like Ryus one.
Yeah, no, I really like. She's. I actually had her in Mark two because I really liked the idea of the whole crit decap and everything for funsies, but she was horrible then. I think she's in a decent spot now. I think Bethane is in this weird. I don't do anything. Interesting. Like she's at the point now where she's not even the swapping in and out of the War Beast thing doesn't even like it just doesn't even serve a purpose.
No, she's I think some stuff needs to get changed on her, and I think she's going to be the one that is going to go through. So.
There is real quick before we get to the rest of you guys, there is one masochist at the ATC playing Ryan's one.
Nice,
got that sweet speed nine, throne.
Well, he's got a throne in the list.
Well, our buddy Dan.
I was going to say, I think that actually might have some legs in WTC. Well, no, in a WTC format where you can go, all right, you're not ready for the teleporting Speed 9 throne. And
all right, I'm sorry, I'm trolling. We all know the throne cannot go Speed 9.
Yeah.
It's 7.
It still gets to teleport. It might as well be speed 9 once it gets that beautiful blood wave or red tide, whatever it is.
I mean, our buddy Dan was playing Bethane. He had a Bethane. You know, he was trying to make her work, and he had a couple lists that were at least somewhat interesting. But yeah, I think she both of those two would be fine candidates. Kator, Ryan, I'll start with you.
Zerkova one. I win.
Oh, she's in a good spot. She's not in a horrible spot right now, though. Zerkova 2 certainly needs some help.
Both Zerkovas.
There's a lot. There's actually quite a few casters who could use a little tweak. Nothing major. I'm actually going to say Koslov. I would love to see him get an identity of some sort.
I don't think you're ever going to see a Battlebox caster get touched.
I don't think any of the Battlebox casters are getting better.
Yeah,
if there's anyone that was going to get it, it'd be Agathea, and Krix came and went, and she's the same.
Yeah. Krissa could have probably used it too, but regardless, I agree with Brad. I don't think you'll ever see the Battlebox casters get touched. I think they are designed that way for a reason. I'm going to say Vlad 3. I don't know if there's anything wrong with him, but I like him, and you don't see him a lot, so I'm just going to go. I'm going him.
Hmm.
Not a whole lot of other reasoning, because I don't know much else about him, just that you don't see him. And I like Cavcaster, so.
Yeah.
Pete.
Well, I'll just Butcher 1. Fuck it. Why not?
Seems
all the...
He's going to finally get something on the back of his card. It's going to happen. He'll get unyielding.
Fuck, get out of here.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, get the fuck out of here.
Someone kick Pete from this chat.
If he goes into CID, the only thing that's going to happen to him is he's going to have the enemy model in range instead of it just being friendly to get the additional die.
I know, they ruined Striker 1 by putting a fucking tactical tip for Earthquake on the back of his card. No! Should have been blank. all right, who has not answered for Kator? Brad? No, you did.
I yelled Zerkova 1. No one plays her. And sure, does she have a thing that she can do? Yeah, but does anyone want to use that thing? No. So
all
right. I actually, after what Ryan said, will go to both Zerkovas. It's a cool spellcaster lady, and no one uses her. It makes me sad.
Great. Sounds good. Pete, I'm going to start with you for this. We're going to go to Circle.
Going to see some love. What's his name? Grail.
Grail. Yeah, yes. that was going to be.
He's the assassin one, right? Who can't assassinate people?
Yes.
So, I mean, if I can say anything, like, Gelfand in our era plays Grail. All Grail does is, like, hide behind whatever piece of terrain's on the table and give his army Warpath. I'm sorry, it's not even Warpath. This feels like Warpath for every model.
No, Stealth and then, Warpath for...
Right? Yeah. So, like solos and, like, individual models can move.
Yeah.
And he has a great time with Grail. So Grail's probably fine, but yeah, I could agree. That probably is the one that's going to get something.
I was going to say Grail or one of the Morvanas, since you guys didn't. I'll say Morvana one.
Well, I didn't get a chance to answer, but I would go with both Morvanas again.
Oh, God damn it. Okay.
Yep.
What happened to Morvana 2, man?
Meta changes and the way in which he brings back models is, like, really risky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On to Menoth, and I am going to say Fiora 2. I think she might even still have a place in...
you really like Cavcasters, don't you?
That's Fiora
3. That's Fiora 3.
Yeah.
Oh. That's the one I think needs help.
I think making the Firestarter spell an upkeep spell instead of just her thing, I think that was possibly a mistake, and I think she could be good with just a few changes, especially in this meta, but she's just not there, so... I'll say her. Ryan, go.
Well, Flaming Horse Lady needs help.
Fiora 3.
The Ford Fiora.
Yeah, I think it's a gorgeous model. I think when you look at her card, she's got like this really cool thing she wants to do, and she can't actually do it. And it's like, that's the most frustrating when it's like, oh, I can see what you want to do, and then you go to try to do it, and it's like, you're actually not good at what you want to do. Those are the casters that need the help the most.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she wants to cast Insight, and then she dies, right? Like, that seems to be her problem. Whoever hasn't gone for Menoth,
go. Krios 2.
Mm.
Slam fucking dunk. Dude's boring, he doesn't do anything. He needs something.
I like that one.
I have my answer. Real quick, internet research I did. Menoth has 19 warcasters,
mm-hmm.
12 of which are being played at the ATC. And in those 12, there is not any one of the three versions of Fiora. So I think you could pick any one of the three of them and make them even somewhat relevant and bring back the fire theme in Menoth, and that would be my pick.
I mean, isn't that like the joke right now that the one dwarf does fire better than the whole faction of Menoth?
Durgan!
Yeah, he fucking gives his whole battle group fire. Like, get fucked, Fiora.
Yeah.
Alright, what was the next one? From S tier to dumpster fire, Scar 3 will be. I'm gonna go A.
Chris?
Like,
just how good Scar 3 is going to be? She'll be fine.
I think she'll be an A. She's a Krixcaster.
She'll be behind Scar 1, probably. She won't have the control elements that Coven gives you. She'll be good. She'll just be Krix different.
Pete?
I'm going to not answer because I'm still upset that they didn't make her a structure.
Okay.
With a discount option, like a Dragoon.
Yeah. All right. That's fair.
Oh, Pete.
Ryan?
Solid B plus. Solid B plus.
Okay. All right. The next 2, 3, or 4th iteration for a caster warlock, i.e. Scar 3, Gorshade 4, will be. Not for each faction. Sorry. Just pick one. I don't, because.
The next one.
I didn't think. Yeah, the next one will be.
Oh, fuck. I don't know.
Just pick. Pick a fucking caster you want to see get another iteration. There you go.
I'd like to see a Witch Coven 2 Battle Engine Warcaster.
There you go.
You're just a horrible person. Are there three?
I didn't say it would be good. It's just...
Three battle engines is your caster?
Say again?
Three different battle engines.
No, they're all in one. Like, they don't activate independently anymore. It's just a warcaster. It's the Witch Coven. And their ball is turned into...
Like
I don't know,
or something?
Maybe it's like one of those things that you use where, like, you can get inside of it and, like, run down a mountainside with it. Like the inflatable balls.
Oh my god.
A giant hamster wheel, they just all run inside the air war.
Or they've made a pyramid of witches and they're holding the ball up at the top.
Oh, they're like a cheerleading squad.
Yeah, like a cheerleading squad.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be cool. I like that idea.
Just getting a 40K monolith.
Or the Aragorns have like all split up like through osmosis or whatever shit. And like they're wearing them as like Rock'em Sockers and they're just like beating the shit out of each other. With egregores on their fists.
Oh no.
I'm going to say that we're going to see Krueger 3 in the circle. Shit. Oh, no, we already know who they're getting, don't we? We already know the name of their cast, their guy, so I'm not going to say that.
Do we?
Yeah, it's a female Tharn caster.
Yeah, it's a new. It's not a second. All right,
what does she do?
Kill shit?
I'm going to say Kryaspor.
Really? Another Kryas? Wouldn't they do another striker before then?
I don't know. I don't follow the fluff. I don't know any of that nonsense. I'm just going to... Menoth's getting a CID. We don't know the name of the caster, so I'm just going to say it's Kryaspor. It's a reasonable prediction.
Hey, real quick segue. Speaking of fluff, I was thinking about this the other day. I don't have a good understanding of where the fluff is. And I feel like it's because they're releasing novels, and no one's really talking about the novels. Whereas you would buy the anthology books.
Right, yeah.
And
no, they lost that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, nobody knows where the fluff... Unless you went and read the books, you don't... Like, the last book I remember even hearing about was the Dragonfather book. And like that changed so much, but it's not in any of the rules anywhere anymore. They don't even have the flavor text anymore on the cards. So like, yeah, no, the fluff is basically just gone unless you're specifically reading the novels.
Interesting.
Did anybody not answer that?
No, we all did.
We all did. Okay. Let's assume one of the factions gets a colossal / gargantuan. Who do you think it'll like a new one? Who do you think it'll be?
Can I say Crucible Guard?
No. Fuck you. Okay. Legion, Kator, Circle, Mercs, Menoth.
Can we say Kator? Because we know they're getting another battle engine?
No, because I said Colossal Gargantuan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh.
Man, you suck.
It's Legion, right? Because they're getting the big ass dead bird.
Are you serious? That sounds awesome.
What are they getting?
They're getting the big dead-ass bird.
Is that a huge base?
I believe so, yeah.
Is it? And it's a...
well, I could be wrong.
Gargantuan?
Huh. Well, it looked like a huge base.
I thought it was... I didn't think it was a huge base.
Nah, doesn't matter. I'm gonna say Legion, it's the dead fucking bird.
Okay, done. Great. I'm going to say Mercs.
Mercs. What would it even be? Like a Cephalix?
No, I don't know. It could be another... could be a pirate type thing, another galleon type ship, or maybe it's a one that works for both. I don't know.
I tell you, if PP was smart, they'd do a pumpkin monster for Grimkin.
Yeah, right.
That's every other post on the Grimkin Facebook group is.
I'll tell you right, it would sell. It would sell more than there are Grimkin players. That's for sure.
The number of factions Ryan will play will be.
Four.
Four.
Crucible Guard, Trolls, Convergence, Gator. Yes, I agree. Four. Pete.
Ooh.
What?
Guess how many factions Ryan will play this year.
You guys guessed four.
Oh, you? I don't know. You're in agreement?
He's going to play seven because he owns all of them for the
channel. No, that's why I didn't do that for Pete. The number of points Pete will paint will be, I'm going to say Pete hits 3,000.
No, I was going to say it's 3,000. No, he has to hit 3,000.
It's really over-under on like 1,800.
I'd definitely go over.
You'd go over 1,800 again.
Over 1,800, that's easy.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I did 2,300, not including Warcasters and Warlocks. So let's go for 2,600.
Nice.
No, recap.
Having the 2,600 point challenge.
Say again?
You're going to do the 2,600 point challenge?
We can do that.
Do you have enough stuff unpainted to do that?
Yeah, is there enough models for that, Pete?
I probably could.
The number of times Brad will play the power list of Coven Dark Host will be 0.
Coven Dark Host, huh? I'm going
to
say...
Put that list on the table.
What'd you say?
I'm trying to think if I even put that list on the table.
I don't think you have, which is why I said it.
I don't think I have either. I think I've done Coven Scourge. That's where I was at last.
Brad, I'm pretty positive you have not played Coven Dark Host yet.
I mean, I played Star 1 Dark Host. Like, I'm still that much of a dick.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get curious, and he's going to take it for a spin.
So once he's going to do it once.
That's fair.
Two. He'll put it. He'll get curious. He'll take it for a spin, and he'll go, huh? And then he'll do it again and go, oh. I'm saying two.
The number of top 10 lists Grant will force everyone to make will be.
Oh, I'm going to go with 10.
42.
42. That's one Christ. Every other. I don't think we even fresh. Did.
That's three a month.
We didn't do 42 Ryan. Episodes last year. I'm gonna say six.
We'll just start doing them on Facebook every week. A top 10.
Right. You know, those would have been better if I had help from anybody else. Just saying.
To be fair, I got into my office here and I have a big Hitchhiker thumb sitting on my desk. So
all right.
It had to be 42.
All right. So personal bold predictions. These were like I alluded to earlier. I don't know if you guys have any. Me and Pete have some. We're gonna speed round some. My first one, and again, these are not what I want to see. Just bullshit. SR 2018 will be worse than 2017.
Interesting.
Well, considering we all said we lost 2017, it's easy to do.
All right. Crucible Guard will introduce an 80mm base size.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I saw you post that, and I was like,
no, absolutely not.
Them tanks, they got to be on something.
Yeah, they're going to be on large bases or huge bases. They ain't going to be on 80mm. Get the hell out of here.
The next structure.
Wait. Let's
what?
Go, let's go,
what?
Let's go back real. How is a tank going to fit on a large base?
They're little tanks. They're steam tanks.
It's going to be like the Polish World War II tankettes.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. They need something in between. It's going to be 80mm. Done.
No, it's going to look like big gun bunnies, but with treads. Like, I think that's what their tanks will be.
I think they're going to have large base tanks, and then they're going to have like maybe three or four huge base options.
They're going to have a fucking Voltron force that combines into one giant tank. They'll have five of them, and you can combine them into a huge base.
Into a 220mm base.
Great. Oh, God. All
right. The next structure will be amazing and seen in more than half the pairings for its respective faction. I think they dropped the ball on the blockhouse, and I think they're going to overcompensate on the next one, and I think it's going to be possibly too good. And then we'll get brought back up.
Unless it has a different type of deployment, I don't think that it's possible.
Well, I think that's something they'll fix. I think that is something that will get fixed in the next one. So, go ahead, Pete. You have another one?
Oh, yeah. PP will announce the next limited faction at Lock and Load, and it's going to be Zoo.
Interesting.
Okay, learn me as a guy that doesn't know the flip. What the fuck is Zoo?
The Totem Hunter.
Yep.
What? Predator?
Yeah, he's
that's
Zoo.
That's a faction?
Yep.
Yeah, there's three different races, countries, organizations app that they haven't introduced yet.
Just as an idea, if that's going to be the next faction, do you think they are like an extension of Minions, kind of like Cephalix is an extension of Mercenaries?
Yes. I think that's exactly what it'll be. I think it'll be an extension in Minions. Yep. I think it'll be a new, you'll have Blindwater Covenant, you'll have Pharaoh, whatever it is, and then you'll have Zoo.
That's interesting. I have been saying this, and I just want to see it. I don't think it'll happen. We will see an epic Warbeast / Warjack.
Well, that'd be cool. Yeah, I like that.
Just something I've always thought that they could
that
do.
That would be awesome. I don't think we'll ever see it, but I think that would be awesome.
It's going to be Brennos, and it'll be Granddaddy Goat.
No, fuck you. It's going to be Thorn. It's going to be Thorn 2.
He can't get any better. He better have lost his armor in a war. Nope. There's just a melee jack
it's
now.
It's going to be great. All right, Pete, what do you got?
PP will release a terrain set.
Yeah, I saw that one. I think that's not a bolt. I think that's actually something that will probably come true.
You think they'll get back into that with like, the Cador Cannon and the Menoth Temple thing?
No, I think it's going to be they're going to sell their own flat terrain. Like, they're going to do a flat terrain.
Flat terrain. No, it'll be 3D, but okay. It'll be the polystyrene plastic. And I think it'll come out in like a kit. So you'll get like a couple hills, a couple trenches, and then you'll be able to buy your widow's wood stuff. So
interesting. I like that thought. The next round of themes will allow you to take some subset of Merc's minions as a as friendly faction with no commanding officer for the factions that don't have that.
Disagree.
Oh, I fucking hope not. Well, okay.
I don't know where else you go. You've hit almost all of the subsets in these factions, so I don't know what else you do for these themes.
You go into the stories in the lore where you've had, like, cross... like cross-pollination between the forces, and have it be very specific. Like, say, for example, if we're going to do a Signar one, you can take, like, Storm Knights and regular Long Gunners.
Well, here's the thing.
I base it on fluff stories.
I think that this will be similar to how they did it in Scorn, where you can only take three Warlocks, or I guess it's four Warlocks. I think it will work that way, where you
yeah,
will
I think that's fine too.
It will be limited in the Warlocks that you Warlocks Warcasters you can choose. But I think that's the route that they go.
That wouldn't actually bother me at all.
Yeah, it would be kind of cool to see, like, the old Hunting Wolves. Zarkova used to have a theme for us where you could take Gorman and, what was the light jack? Talons as friendly faction jacks. And it was her personal vanguard, her hired army, basically. But I could, it'd be kind of cool to see fluff-based slash cast, very caster limited merc options like that.
Yep. Pete, you got any others?
Yeah, this is going to be the most controversial of all.
Go for it.
At the 2018 WTC, one of Canada's teams will place the top five.
That's not even that controversial.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
What, like, wasn't it, like, between their three teams, wasn't, like, their average placing, like, I don't even know. I
thought no North America high. Team placed in the top 10. I thought that was the big
Did you say no? So it was...
I think that's correct, actually.
Is that correct?
I thought Canada's best team was, like, just outside of top 10. Look, we could be messing it up. WTC was a while ago. It's not a huge deal. I don't think that's controversial of a statement.
Nobody comes to us for accurate information anyway.
That's true.
I'm looking it up, see if I can find standings.
All right. While you do that, I will do my last one. We will see a new type of Warcaster. So unit, battle engine, colossal, whatever. Something that has not already existed.
It's a tank in an 80mm base.
There you go. 80mm Warcaster. You heard it here first.
I could totally get behind a Warcaster tank. That'd be awesome.
Ooh, here's a so we asked the we asked our peeps out on Facebook, and I like this one. A Scorn player will win Lock and Load 2018 Iron Gauntlet, and a Minion player will win the LCQ at War Machine Weekend 2018.
Oh, that's cool. I like that one too.
Yeah.
Someone said Crucible Guard will be markedly underpowered and overly complex, and I believe Jay said on Chain Attack that they. that he heard or whatever, that it sounds like Crucible Guard is going to be quite complex.
So, just found it from WTC Mark III. One Canadian team was 6th, the other one was 7th, and the other one was somewhere in the double digits.
That was this year?
That was this year.
Oh.
So,
interesting.
Yeah, I mean, shit, Canada wins one more round, they win the whole event. So
yeah.
Right. And someone said Heretic will be more played in Bump by the end of 2018.
Yeah, that's Cortese. He's been telling me that for weeks. I keep telling him, I think, six different ways, like, why Heretic wants to be played in Dark Menagerie, and he doesn't listen to reason. He's showing signs for early onset dementia. Nothing I say sticks or retains, so I'm concerned for him as a friend.
So, real quick, though, Brad, have you played...
I played against both. Like, it's better in Dark Menagerie. And it's like, you can explain it quickly. Like, he wants to play into the infantry side of a list pair. So when you look at your opponent's list, you go, which one is likely going to be their drop into Grimkin? If it has more infantry, you're probably going to play Heretic. So you want the Cage Raider to start with corpses so you can arc a rebuke. Then the other side of the table, you drop a wall of fire so you can effectively shut down two... ways to go. He keeps saying you want to play in Bump so that you can, like, get the most benefits out of your feet for, like, the Hollow Ones or whatever. But the problem is, like, then you just get charged and you lose all your models. Because by the time you get a corpse to arc a spell, like, they're already in melee with you. Like, he loses all of his control aspects if you play in Dark Menagerie. I don't think Dark Menagerie is bad. I just don't think Heretic wants it.
Okay. Interesting. Sure. Then, Pete, do you want to go ahead and read that?
Yeah, breaking news. 2018 prediction is someone wins a tournament with Fiona. The Black.
Ooh.
And in parentheses is me, which is Brandon Andrews.
Has he even been playing her?
I don't know.
The answer's probably not.
To be fair, he gave himself a tournament.
So he gave himself a little bit of room. Yeah.
He's just going to report in that he won a steamroller at one point.
Sure. No, it's going to be, he's going to go to like a, backwater place. He's going to roll in there. It'll be a four-person round-robin tournament.
We're going to ask him how many times he played Fiona the Black. He's going to say none, but she was in the pair.
Yeah.
All right, so I think that's it. Whatever. You guys suck. Try to have fun.
We had fun.
I called one of my good friends. I said one of my good friends had early onset dementia.
I thought you were going to say autism. Like when you started. Like that's what I thought you were going with.
How can you have early onset autism?
Because just before you said onset, that's just what I thought was going to come out of your mouth.
What is early autism?
Continue.
Brad, I don't know. I don't know, buddy. It's your world. I'm just living in it.
Grant. Poor, sweet, beautiful, innocent little Grant.
All right, next week we're going to try to, like I said, grab Brandon. We're going to go in depth and talk about ATC lists and do some analysis of that. And check out Not Snakes Gaming on YouTube. I'm Grant.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Third.
I'm Pete.
Thanks for listening.